Book of Acts 22. I want to read several verses to start with, so I hope I don't put you to sleep, but I want you to see the whole story. And we're going to talk about something I think is really important, because we get it sometimes confused. How many know what a conscience is? Does everybody have one? Saved and lost have a conscience. I got some people looking, so that's good, because they may just keep you awake for a second to look at this, all right? Acts chapter 22. I want to start reading at verse 22, and we're going to go all the way through into chapter 23. But it's all one story, and I didn't want to break it up any. Everybody there, Acts 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews. He loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Anybody know what whited wall is? We'll talk about that in a second. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, y'all know the difference in a Pharisee and a Sadducee? Right here you'll get to find it out. You'll find out why Sadducees are sad, you see. Everybody still here? Okay. He cried out to the council, Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I'm called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Now I know why they're sad, you see. Right? I mean, if there was no resurrection, Joe, and I just lived and died and was buried and worms ate me, that'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? But the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, Karen. They're sad, you see. I'm saying if she sees, you see. Now, For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there rose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, say, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces. How many of you all had a bad day? You had a day like this? Anybody try to pull you in pieces? I mean, literally. Pull him in pieces. They commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the word, and Lord, give us deliverance as we go through this passage of Scripture. Lord, as we talk about some things of importance, help us, Lord, to leave here with those in our mind and our heart. And Lord, help us to follow the example of such a great man who is simply a sinner saved by your grace. So Lord, I pray tonight that you'll give us guidance as we go through this particular passage of Scripture. In Christ's name, amen. Before I get you to the gist of this story, and it'll take about 5 minutes, I want to take a few more minutes to give you some introduction about a conscience. You and I were born with a conscience. That conscience, believe it or not, knows right and wrong. And I'm going to share some Scripture with you. Go to Romans, if you would, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Right after the book of Acts. Verse 14 and 15 are the two verses I want to share here. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law. Now think about this. If you were born a Jew and you were living in the times of the book of Romans, the Jews have had the law for close to 5,000 years. 4 to 5,000 years the Jews have had the law. The Jews have been hearing the law from the time God gave it to Moses and to the time that this was being written. These Jews, as children, had been taught the law. They've been told to hang it on their doorposts. They've been told to talk about when they went to bed at night, when they get up in the morning. They've been talking about the law. These kids grew up knowing the law. But think about this. If you were a Gentile, you never heard the law. You never knew thou shalt not kill. You never knew thou shalt not steal. You never knew thou shalt not bear false witness. So are they off the hook. Look what he says. For when the Gentiles, verse 14, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. What do you mean by nature? Who trained your kid to lie? Who in here has kids that's ever lied? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Who trained them? I mean, do y'all sit around at home after the Waltons go off and you do your devotional and say, okay, now, we're going to have another class on lying. Now, here's how it goes. How did they learn to lie? Well, according to this, it was already in them by nature to do this. Now, look at this. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, for their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. I like that. Accusing or what? Excusing. Every one of us, from the time we were born, either knew this was wrong, and our conscience said, you better not do that,
Or we knew it was wrong and our conscience said you better not do it, but one time won't hurt. And your conscience excused you. Y'all with me? Your conscience excused you and you went and did it.
Now, something's going to happen when you get saved. And that's why I don't want you to lose me tonight for a few minutes. You're born with a conscience. You and I are triune people. We're the Trinity. We got a mind, body, and soul. Now, the soul and the conscience are not the same. Don't walk out of here tonight thinking that your soul is your conscience. It's not. Your soul is who you are. When God made Abraham, the Bible says he breathed in his nostrils. He became a living, breathing one. And the Bible tells us the soul will never die. One day your soul will leave your body at death. Your soul goes on to heaven. You've been in a room when someone died. You've been there. You've been to the funeral. You went to the casket. Was that person there?
Nope.
The body looked like them. But the soul's gone. What is soul? The soul is who that person was. It was their personality. Their smile. Most of us just have an attitude about us. And we say, that's who they are. Now, when it's laid in the box and the life is gone, that soul is gone. That's not the conscience, okay? Now, when God built us, He built a conscience in us. That's really important. When you talk about in the Old Testament, it even talks about a spirit of man. Listen to what I said. Spirit of man. That's why we refer in the New Testament, Brother Jim, to being born again. I've already got a spirit. My conscience. When I get born again, I get another conscience. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me. Now, here's what the Bible says. His Spirit will bear witness with my spirit.
Right.
So, Brother Job, now, when I know something's wrong and the conscience says, you can't do it, the conscience might try to excuse me to do it, but God's Spirit will say what? No!
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wrong, you can't do it wrong.
Can't do it.
Who knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Now, who's ever went against that spirit?
Sure.
How'd that feel?
Not good.
Now you know guilty conscience.
Right.
Come on, nod.
Amen.
Y'all should have some guilty consciences by now. This is the second day of January. Right? There should be some... How many already broke New Year's resolutions that we weren't supposed to make? I wasn't going to drink any pop this year. I drank Coke down there before we left Monday night. At like 1 o'clock. Done broke it. Guilty conscience, not much. When you and I break God's law,
amen.
Now the guilty conscience comes. You see the difference? You're born with a conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. We hear all those kind of things. That's great if you're saved. If you're a lost person, don't let your conscience be your guide. Because your conscience, if you're lost, can excuse you and let you do some stuff you shouldn't do. Now, I want you to read a proverb with me. Go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. I started to tell Lona, Lona, take that about reading the proverb a day out. And I thought, no, because the proverb a day is still good. If you've done it for 3 or 4 years, just keep doing it. It's not a bad idea. I want you to read verse 27. This helps me more than anything else. Terminology, I wish I could take you all to my class on Monday nights and I do Bible manners and customs. When you read your Bible, you read candle, you think wax, wick, light. Sometimes a candle in the Bible refers to a lamp with a wick that takes oil. Well, why didn't it call it a lamp? I don't know. But
years ago, that was considered a candle. And now when there were lamps, lamps were more elegant than that. But sometimes a single thing, like just a wick and some oil, would be considered a candle. Okay? Now, that's important because I want you to read this verse.
Verse 27 of Proverbs 20. The spirit of man, now what does it say? You're born with a conscience, and sometimes it's referred to as what? Calvin, thank you. I've lost everybody. Somewhere, I lost them. Spirit of man. Why not? Spirit, Jim, no, it's not. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Spirit of man, conscience, God built in you.
That's right.
God's Spirit, according to the Bible, bears witness with my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, we're there now? All right. Now here's what he says.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God built you with this in there. I'm telling you, oh, I'm an atheist. I can't help it. I don't believe you. Because God built everybody with the ability to know right and wrong, and there's a God.
Amen.
It says right here,
right.
The spirit of man is the kind of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean for you? Well, it's simple. The spirit of God and the spirit of man does a job.
It works on the inside of Steve. That's why the psalmist said, search my heart. And try me. See if there's any wicked way in me.
Yeah.
What's he talking about? He's talking about searching me from the inside out. See, that's where all the bad stuff is. From out of the heart, man is defiled, right? From out of the heart, man's wicked. I mean, the Bible teaches all these things are from where?
Within. We're defiled from within. You think you're ugly, but you're more ugly on the inside, God says. Right? So here's what he says. You got to let me search. And so the Holy Spirit comes in and He's trying to take over. See, you and I, when we get saved, how many of you have been saved a long time? How many have been saved not too long? Let me tell you all a secret. You just not been saved very long. There's a hostile takeover taking place in your life.
That's right.
God has moved in and He's trying to take over. Well, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me see if I can help you. How many of you that are newly saved, you try to do the old stuff, and you feel guilty. And you feel bad all of a sudden. Why? Because God's moved in, and the old body says, I still like to do that. And you try to do it, but God's Spirit says, that no. Paul said it this way, old things have passed away, all things become new.
Right.
I don't know why I don't like to drink beer now, because I liked to drink beer a couple months ago, but now that I got saved and I'm trying to drink a beer, it just don't feel right, it don't taste right, and I feel weird about it. You know why? Because
yep.
God's moved in, He says, no.
That's right.
Now here's the problem. If you've been saved recently, and that's not going on in your life, you've got a counterfeit.
You didn't get the real thing.
Because
when you really get saved, God's Spirit starts banging with your spirit, and there's a war going on in your life.
Amen.
Now, since you've been saved a long time, tell me I'm telling the truth. Give me an amen or nod me or something. The war's on. And now, when does the war get over? It's over in Greg's life. Greg's done battling, won it, and just smooth sailing now. Look at him. Just calm, cool, coasting on the silky waters. I guarantee Greg Carell fights it every day of his life as well as you and I do. That inward man wanting to do that spirit, that conscience, but this new one's moved in. Now, here's what happens.
Man and Josh and Mike and Angela, they got these new babies, and Brian and Julie, and we tell them Proverbs Train up a child what? Alright, you're trying to train that conscience. You can do that. You can train a conscience. You can train a conscience. No. I think it should not happen to grandbabies, by the way. Grandbabies should never get patted on the hands and told no. I'm against it, but anyway, back to the story. That will not get them saved. You can train the conscience to a degree.
Right.
That don't save them.
That's right.
But when they get saved, now the Spirit moves in and He starts working on the conscience.
Amen.
And He starts developing it. He starts telling you this and that and the other. Now, you say, okay, I got it. Go to John 8. I'll give you one more, and then I'm going to tell you. I just got about 3 or 4 minute message. So let's get you to John 8. This is still more filler. I'm trying to make it go to the 8 o'clock hour so I don't look like I've shortchanged anybody. If you paid $40 to come tonight, I want you to get your money's worth. John 8. I'll give you a fast forward in the story. Remember Jesus was teaching and they brought this woman caught in adultery, the very act. Y'all remember the story? And Jesus does what? Bends down and starts writing in the dirt, right? I think, Paul Blanton, I think he wrote the Ten Commandments. I think he wrote 5. And he bent down again and wrote 5 more, Greg. I think that's what happened. I don't know that. I think that though. Because I think the law has always been a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. You gotta know you're guilty before you can ever be saved. You gotta know you're a sinner before you can ever be saved. So Jesus sits there, he writes in the dirt, but don't tell us what. I just gave you mythology, throw that in the trash. Now here's what I want you to see. Verse 8. Again he stooped down, he wrote on the ground. And when they which heard it being convicted by their own, what? Now what's happened? God's taken His Word. By the way, if Jesus wrote it in the dirt, it's God's Word.
Amen.
It is. God's Word what convicts you. So Jesus bends down and writes in the dirt something. But whatever He wrote, everyone by their own what? Conscience. Began to get convicted, and one by one, they left.
Now that lets me know one thing. Doesn't tell me these people are saved. It tells me they got a conscience. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God can convict the conscience. But I want you to know something. A conscience can be convicted, Betty, but if you don't do something about that conviction, it doesn't fix anything.
Amen.
That's like saying the little light comes on your car and it says check engine. Well, I ain't checking no engine. I'm taking me a piece of black tape and I'm going to put over that crazy light, Jason, and I'm driving the car.
You drive the thing breaks and they go in and they diagnose and they say, well, you had this part that was bad. Your oil sensor wasn't working. You wasn't getting enough oil up there. So therefore, your rod knocked and you threw a rod. Well, wonder why. You had a warning. God's Spirit, with His Word, convicts your conscience. That's a warning. Won't send you to heaven. It lets you know something's broke here. Something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong. Now, what you do with that conviction from God is the big deal.
Amen.
This woman stayed around. Everybody else left. You see, the woman where thine accusers hath no man condemned thee. She said, no man. Lord, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. What? Go and sin no more. I believe she got saved. That's what I think. She was convicted. He didn't say what you're doing is okay. He never said that anywhere. She was reading the same thing that he wrote in the dirt, Jim. She read it just like everybody else did. She could see it. But when the conviction came to her and her conscience, she stayed. And she followed through. That's why service after service, you can't tell me that if a service like Sunday happened and nobody moved forward, you can't tell me there was no conviction. But when there's conviction, You have a choice. You either sit or move. Right? That's where it happens. Now, here's your story. That clock's fast. Here's the story. Back to the book of Acts. I'm going to show you something I learned this week. I taught the book of Acts at school years ago. I love the book of Acts. Jim will tell you. I love it. But I learned something this week in my studies I want to share with you today. And I kind of stumbled on it. Now you probably already know it, but just play along with me so I can feel like I've taught you something tonight, okay? Paul took this horrible beating. But the part that really stood out to me is coming with verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 23. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all what? Good conscience before God until this day." Here's what he says. Standing right here today. He didn't say sinless. He says, "I've got a good conscience standing right here today." That's pretty important now. That your conscience is good. That you've done what you're supposed to do. You respond how you're supposed to respond. Didn't say you're sinless. But just says that I'm good standing right here. I got a good conscience. Now look what takes place. Kind of look really slow. "And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." I wonder what Jim Smith would do, Sandy, if I said, "Mike Correll, smack Jim in the mouth." Just for fun, let's do it. What do you think? This high priest, he's standing there in all of his glory. He said, "Smack him in the mouth." Now, this is time to wake up. This is where it gets good. "Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall." Now, what's whited wall? Whited wall, go ahead, Ben.
Self-righteous person think they've done no evil.
Okay, that's perfect. Whited wall refers to the sepulchers, the tombs. They would take and paint them white, Jessica, just real pretty white. But inside it was what? Dead body. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. And Paul, he stands right up and he says, "You don't get smacked in the mouth, you hypocrite." That's what he did. Now, I'm liking it, Mike. This is good. Now, look at this. "God shall smite thee, thou white wall, for thou sittest down to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." Now, can I help you something real quick? This is what I learned this week. What got me started, Brother Greg, was Ananias. Where have I heard that name before? Where have I heard Ananias before, Brother Jim? Ananias was the one they took Jesus to. And then they took Jesus to who? Caiaphas. Now, write this down. Ananias was Caiaphas' father-in-law. Ananias served only to 16 A.D., which in other words, Ananias was technically not the high priest right now. Ananias wasn't even technically the high priest when they killed Jesus. Caiaphas was. Caiaphas is younger. Well, what do you mean high priest? Well, it's kind of like this, Paul. One day you're going to retire. Are you still considered Trooper Blanton when you retire? You are. You're still Trooper Blanton.
But you're retired. Can you still arrest people? But you know what? But look, I hate to do it, but we're over here somewhere. Nobody knows that really. And you can pull out the badge and throw some stuff around. Everybody's like, okay, take the position. I guarantee they'll do it because they don't know you're active or inactive. They just know it's Trooper Blanton. Now look at this story. They arrest Paul. Ananias ain't the high priest. He was at one time. But the high priest had served. He served and he was able to go into the Holy of Holies one time in his lifetime. Now Ananias is standing there. I think he's an old man. And he says, smite him. He ain't got any authority. Zero. But Paul said right before that, Mom, in verse 1, I got a good conscience till today. He had no right to have Paul smacked in the mouth. And Paul had all right to say what he said because this man wasn't the high priest at the time. He was an imposter. I think that's pretty cool. See, sometimes you and I, we might get tricked into things, but our conscience, Ida May, can be really smarter than people are. I read this story, Brother Greg, thousands of times, and I think, well, Paul messed up. He shouldn't have said that. But you read on through here, and you find out Paul kind of plays with them a little bit. Paul said it this way. Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Paul just quotes it in the verse that says you can't speak evil to the high priest. But Paul basically says he's not the high priest. He's just Greg Carell. I can say what I want to. You know why, Luke? This has all been about one thing. Our conscience. That's what this is all about. Flip the page, now that I'm over time anyway, I'll take it off Sunday's pay. Go to chapter 24. Let me read you one verse here. Verse 16. Let me tell you why Paul could do this. Now, I think this is important tonight if you haven't missed this thing. Paul is telling you and I tonight that the conscience that God has got in us now that we're saved. If I'm following the Word of God, I can trust my conscience. Before I was saved, Dale, I could not trust my conscience. But now that I'm saved, I'm reading the Word of God, the Spirit of God has started to become more in my life now. Now, I can trust this. And Paul proved that right there to you all and to me when he said, you're going to be smacked in the mouth. You know Paul wouldn't have said that if he knew he couldn't have said it.
That's right.
Am I right? Am I right, Julie? They don't agree with me up here. I'm just going to start preaching back later.
Amen.
Paul's conscience, because he was close to God, was saying, this ain't right, Paul, what's happening to you.
Yeah.
But you know what Jesus did, Nick? He came right in there at the end and he said, you're all right, Paul. You're not going to die right here. You got an appointment with the head people. You got to go even further.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's where he would die. But the Lord comes to him. You know why? Because Paul followed his conscience. Now look at what he says in Acts 24:16. I herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. What did he do? What did Paul say he did?
Exercise.
Jim, I'm not a Greek fan of any kind of shape or self form. I don't even know why. I looked that word up. You know what the Greek word for exercise is? Gymnasium. Go look The Greek word for exercise is gymnasium. I think a gymnasium is the place you go to exercise. So what's Paul saying? Paul's saying my life has become a gymnasium for my conscience. And I use it in my life. And I've tried, it's never void, it's never against God. So when you go out of here tonight, Johnny, and y'all go out here, you make sure you read your Bible, you make sure you pray, and you let that conscience of God come in and trust it.
Amen.
Trust it. And you say, well, how I know I'm doing the right thing. Here's the thing, Doug. No one had to tell me I was doing the wrong thing. When I got saved, God just cut right in. Didn't have to take June class. When I got saved, God moved in, and all of a sudden, just like that, without a class or anything, I started knowing it was wrong, wrong, wrong.
Sure, right.
Then what happened, Karen, was this. 6 months, a year, 5 years, 30 years later, I hear a verse, and it just confirmed what I've been thinking all the time.
Amen.
Right. I knew not to do it, Karen, but I didn't know why not to do it. And then I read a verse 30 years later and said, that's why I don't do that. I didn't know why I couldn't do it. I just couldn't grip it. Don't do it. But now I've got a verse that says, don't do it. Now let's start to read to everybody. Y'all ready? And that's what happens. The conscience. That's what me and Benny studied while we were listening to bluegrass and sleeping. I thought it was a pretty good lesson.
Amen.
At least I learned something. I never had thought about Ananias. But you go up and say that Ananias was not the high priest at the time. He is retired high priest. I'm sure he still thought of it from people as high priest, but he didn't have an official capacity to do what he was telling them to be done. That's why Paul did what he did. He trusted his conscience. You and I can do that too. I'm sure glad I came. But you, I'm just honored that.
Man.
All right. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation, Brian. I'm willing to be something tonight, Lord. My work on somebody's candle. Spiritual man. Right? Not out. And you know what? That's where you let God direct you. So I don't know why. I had this happen. I can't remember exactly if it was here or Belize, but I had a guy walk the aisle one time and I said, what can I do for you? He said, God just told me to come up here and I don't know why. I said, well, I just start praying. And he was saved. But you know, I like that. He didn't really know why God was walking. God said, I think you need to move. Okay. Sometimes, maybe that's what we've got to do. Just follow God. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the Word. Lord, I pray that you'll give us guidance through this time of invitation. Whatever the needs are, you will show us. In Christ's name, amen.
Page 313.